Not quite sunrise, but by the time I'm concluding what I'm saying, it should be, because sunrise today is at 6:29. And we're just a few minutes away from that. Now, if someone wants to shout at 6:29, I'll know it's 6:29. Exactly. Want to read a passage out of Galatians this morning, and it's a custom where I preach for people to stand for the reading of the Word of God. So I'm going to ask you to do that. And it may help you to get some blood flowing. Galatians chapter 4, verses 3, the second half of verse 3, that is, through verse 7. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get into the heart of Galatians and what Paul's talking about, I want to share with you in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53, the last three verses of 52 and all of chapter 53, talk about the five different kind of offerings that Jesus fulfilled. I've been sharing through Palm Sunday and then Easter regular service those five, and today I want to point out two of them that we celebrate in our sunrise service today, and it's the end of chapter 52. It is written, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, for he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage or his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle or startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider." This marring of his appearance and the description of these three verses is, in the Old Testament, the burnt offering, because after that offering is presented, it is unrecognizable. When you burn something, it doesn't look like what it used to be. And when Jesus was flogged and beaten, he did not look like what he used to be. So he represents the burnt offering. And in verses 7 through 9, he represents the sin offering, which we understand that he came to redeem us. And it says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and captivity and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Indeed, the transgression of his people, of us, for that reason he was stricken as a sin offering." And thank God for that. Praise God that he was willing to do that. This message today, I call it time change. Now, I'm not talking about from daylight savings to the regular time, as we call it, but I'm talking about the time change that Jesus made. You may have heard an old song called "The Times They Are A-Changin'." If you haven't read those words lately or heard the song, you should listen to it because it fits this occasion almost perfectly in Jesus' life. It was the only time, never before and never since in human history, where Jesus' death was scripturally going to be able to be fulfilled and possible. Let me tell you why. After 70 AD, it was too late. The temple was gone. The connection to the sacrifices and the temple life was no longer present, and Judaism was being, shall we say, destroyed by the Roman authorities. And before the temple was built in Jerusalem, and his way of life had become entrenched, it was too soon. He had to have the scribes and Pharisees to be angry with him over their way of life and what they wanted to protect for them to be willing to crucify him. And there was a window at that time where the anger against him from the high practicing Jews would affect his life and would fulfill prophecy, whether or not they knew it. But how else at that time was time relevant? Roman crucifixion. He died on a cross. It was common, and it had to be the means of execution, because it said, "Cursed is he who hangs on the tree," talking about the way he would die. If Roman crucifixion, which lasted for 500 years, and this was the heart of it, so this was the way they would execute him, there was no other way. This is what they did. Lions came later. Had it been lions, he would not have fulfilled prophecy. Jesus was led to Golgotha, and at noon, according to Scripture, the land grew dark from noon until 3. Now, at that time, on this preparation day for Passover, many things were happening. There was a procession going on at about noon from the outskirts of the city into the temple, bringing a lamb to be slain for the Passover at the temple. This was the time of day, shortly after noon, when that lamb would be slain as a part of the Passover celebration. An eclipse signified the end of an era, because the eclipse ended at 3 p.m. And we go, okay, 3 p.m, is that significant? Do you think God does anything that doesn't have significance with his son? Do you think he wouldn't want this occasion memorialized and remembered as something different? Like when he instituted Holy Communion and he changed everything with the last cup of wine at that meal. He changed and put a new covenant out there. Things were changing, weren't they? The times were changing with Jesus. Sure they were. That eclipse signified the end of an era and the dawn of a new one. I wish we could know the exact date and time so we could say that's 0 year. Instead, we've got an arbitrary year of zero, which was a couple years after Jesus was born. And what I want to tell you is when Jesus came, he changed our society, our world. And other than the Jewish community, we and the Chinese, we all go by the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. Amen. The year of our Lord. Someone said once, he split time, B.C., A.D. with a T. Time with a T. The cross to let us know that he is doing that intentionally. I agree with that. In our Passover celebration that they were going under at that time, when they were ready to slay that Paschal lamb and sacrifice it in the temple, do you know what time and what had to occur during that slaying? Some of you may have heard the story or read up on this, but it was at 3 o'clock. At the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the 9th hour of the day. And they had to do that because at the 6th hour, or there close to, was the beginning of the next day, which was a Sabbath, so they had to be cleared out. No more work was to be done. So they had to slay the lamb and take and burn it and sacrifice that lamb and be back home before 6. So they did it at 3. To announce that that lamb was being slain and those who had their own lambs were to slaughter their own and sacrifice that lamb, there had to be a way to let people know throughout Jerusalem and the region that this was to occur. It wasn't like we had, okay, at 3 o'clock, everybody, look at your watch, signify by text and email or Facebook Messenger or however, and then we'll all do it at the same time. That didn't work. Instead, they had a man with a shofar, one of those long horns, ram's horns, and he blew it at 3 o'clock. And then the lamb, the paschal lamb, was slain. At 3 o'clock, Jesus said, "It is finished." And the trumpet blew, the paschal lamb was slain in the temple, and the real Lamb of God died on Calvary. Outside the city, outside of Judaism, so the whole world could receive what he did. Time changed for all of us in that moment. Now, if you look at the facts and what Galatians says, I like how it says it in other translations that say in verse 4, when the fullness of time had come. That means God's not early, but God's not late. And to establish what he did had to happen on this day at this time to perfection. How could you predict someone suffering and bleeding out would die at an exact moment in time unless you're God? How could he know? We don't know when someone is terminally ill or is at the point. We don't know the exact moment ahead of time. God had it orchestrated with the eclipse and the paschal lamb set in motion hundreds, if not thousands of years before, celebrating since the deliverance out of Egypt and out of bondage. He already knew what he was going to do. He had it set up perfectly, and there was no other time in history for this to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying here? This took some orchestration that you and I don't have the ability to know or to do or to understand, because we couldn't plan hundreds of years ahead of time for an event we knew nothing of. But he knew from the foundation of the world, says Scripture, that Jesus was slain. From the foundation of the world, he knew that he would be the Lamb of God. And if you look in Galatians, it says, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Not until 3 o'clock on that day, but until resurrection. Because what good would it do if we were forgiven by the slaughter of the lamb, but still had to remain dead? Because there was no resurrection. That just doesn't make sense to me. I'm forgiven, but I'm still going to be dead without God. Nice to know, right? It is the resurrection that makes the crucifixion for us. Without it, we're still stuck in death, freed from the power of sin, but not freed from the power of death. Calvary covered sin. Resurrection covered life. This time change. This moment, 1 minute from now, is when God said, everything changes, and I've been waiting all history for this moment. I love that. So when the fullness of time had come at the right moment, it says, God orchestrated this, a son born of a woman, of a virgin, born by the law, under the law, which was heavily practiced, fulfilling the law in everything he did, and there were eyes all over watching him. And he fulfilled it perfectly. And he did this to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as God's children. And because we are his children, he sent forth the Spirit of God upon us, which could not have happened had Christ not resurrected, and sent it on the day of Pentecost. And if we are no longer a slave, but a son, then we are an heir. And the only way you can have an heir and be in the part of the heirship is to enter into what was promised. And that which was promised was eternity and a part of the kingdom of God for us. This is the good news, which, as a matter of fact, on that day, at this time, sunrise began. It is now Easter morning sunrise. And if you look at the facts that I've just presented to you about the way time has changed and see the truth, do you clearly see the time change from the days of bondage to sin and death to the days of freedom and being an heir? Do you see that? You could say, if you look around our society, yeah, you're right, the times, they are a-changing. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what happens in the world around us, no matter what happens in society, in family, in this life, and what comes next, the fact of the matter is, what Jesus did stands for eternity and is bigger than any of that. God's Word prevails, and His Word is Jesus. So the question I have for you this morning is, have you moved in with Christ? If you're part of the family, you need to move into the house. Why would you want to stay outside of the family that He has brought you life to be a part of? Why wouldn't you want to move in as a son or a daughter and begin to live like a member of His household? Because you could not and were not any part of that until Jesus' death and resurrection. And then you were welcomed and invited to change your address from wherever you've been living under bondage or freedom without Christ to true freedom and life with Christ. Your address changes now. Holy way. The way of holiness. It says in Isaiah, there is a way of holiness. And that's what He's called us to. To represent His kingdom here on earth. To represent and live like we belong with Him where He is, rather than the way this world says we ought to live. That our lives stand out differently. And there's only one way that can happen. And that is that we have entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And at that moment, our time changes. From what used to not be a child of God to a child of God. And everything forward after that is called A.D. In the year of our Lord. My life in the year of our Lord since the day I gave my life to Christ. Before that was before Christ. And He says all that sin and iniquity is no longer going to be held against us, but rather how we live our life going forward from that day. That's time change, my friends. That's what Jesus and Jesus alone could establish. He set it up perfectly for us to enjoy, but also work and celebrate the kingdom of God. This is what sunrise is all about. This is what Easter is all about to me. I believe our spirit is willing. I didn't tell you this at the beginning, but I'm usually up and working by the time this service has started today. And so you're on what I call my time. Y'all had a time change this morning. I had my regular workday time. I said, this is easy for me. But I tell you that because once your life changes, what used to be no longer makes sense. If you would have told me 15 years ago that I liked getting up at 3:45 in the morning, I would have looked at you and said, you have no idea who I am. But when God changes you, what used to be is no longer familiar. Because you are a stranger and refugee here on this earth, looking for a home with permanent foundations called the city of our God. We belong where He is. This place cannot satisfy us. It is only in fellowship like we are together today to be reminded and to remember what it's like to be with our family. Because there is no family for us now but the family of God. And that's the change, that the times have changed for us. And that's what we celebrate this morning. If you are not a part of that family and don't understand what I'm talking about, Understand this, you're missing out. You're missing out on eternity and hope and true peace that this world cannot take away. There is no other way, there is no other answer, and God is very carefully orchestrating that to be backed. So this morning, celebrate with me, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us that Jesus Christ came to do what he said he would do, and he established what he said he would. And I thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and your healing, and your restoration, all found in Jesus Christ. As we have heard your word, as we've sung, as we've celebrated, now receive our highest praise, Lord, our gratitude for what you have done that we could not do for ourselves. And this day, on this day, at this time, it was established. And we thank you that you orchestrated it all to bring glory to your Son and us into friendship and fellowship with him all the way into you. Thank you for that. Thank you for calling us your own, because we certainly couldn't do it without you. Amen.